It is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. Welcome to the teaching ministry of Life Changing Ministries International with Dr. E.K.D. Quick. With your Bible in hand and your heart open to learn, let's join the teaching in progress.
From the book of Obadiah, we are teaching today on the book of Obadiah. Obadiah in the Old Testament, Obadiah one chapter in length, but filled with historical content, spiritual application, and revelation knowledge. There are 13 different individuals mentioned by the name of Obadiah in the Old Testament. Some scholars believe that this particular Obadiah could be the individual mentioned in 1 Kings chapter 18. However, most conservative scholars believe that there is only one Obadiah mentioned here in this particular place as the author of the book of Obadiah, and the other individuals named Obadiah are different individuals with different historical experiences. Obadiah means servant of Jehovah, and indeed he was, as he penned the book of Obadiah through the Spirit of God, describing the destruction and the sin of Edom, the day of the Lord concerning Edom, the restoration of Israel, and the Messiah's eternal kingdom to come. The book of Obadiah was written approximately between 855 and 840 B.C. He had a contemporary during that time, Elijah the prophet, in the north, as Obadiah prophesied to the south. The book of Obadiah, verse number 1. The vision of Obadiah. Thus saith the Lord God concerning Edom. We have heard a rumor from the Lord, and an ambassador is sent among the heathen. Arise ye, and let us rise up against her in battle. Verse 1 speaks of the vision of Obadiah and the word of the Lord. You'll see this often in the salutations of the Old Testament writers. The word of the Lord came on to Jeremiah. The word of the Lord came on to Ezekiel. The word of the Lord came on to Joel. This tells us, as the scriptures speak in 2 Peter, that holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost. The scriptures teach us that no scripture is of any private interpretation. So these salutations underscore the fact that the word came from the Lord and not from the individual prophets that penned it. They were moved and led by the Holy Spirit, giving inspiration to the word of God, as the word of God is infallible, the word of God is complete, the word of God is truth, and the word of God is spirit and life. Verse 1 speaks of Edom. This particular book is a prophecy against the kingdom of Edom. Edom is a kingdom established through the line of Esau. Esau, as we've learned in the book of Genesis, was the twin brother of Jacob. Esau, according to Genesis chapter 27, gave up his birthright to Jacob for a bowl of red pottage. Esau, in giving up the inheritance, individuals also gave up their opportunity to have their line of heritage possibly bring forth the Messiah. So giving up a birthright was more than just getting a physical inheritance. Giving up a birthright, being the firstborn, and giving that up was also a huge opportunity to not be in the line that brought forth the Messiah. Esau in the scriptures became the enemy of Jacob and the enemy of God. Scriptures teach in the book of Hebrews that Esau was a fornicator, living by the lusts and desires and the appetites of the flesh. Scripture teaches in the book of Malachi that Jacob and Esau are contrasted by Esau representing the works of the flesh and Jacob representing those that live by the Spirit. This is evident throughout the scriptures as the descendants of Esau became the enemies of Israel. Esau again in Genesis chapter 26 chose to marry unbelievers that did not trust in the Lord, in contrast to marrying someone who believed in the Lord. This had spiritual impact as Esau gave up his right to possibly bring forth the seed that would bring forth the Messiah. This in turn gives us evidence that Esau was an unbeliever, for he did not exercise himself as someone who was living a life looking forward to the Messiah, living for the Messiah in the Spirit, but in contrast made decisions according to the flesh. This particular disposition was handed down to the descendants of Esau. They became Edom. Edom in the scriptures means red. Edom is symbolic when Esau gave up his birthright for a bowl of red pottage through unbelief. And Edom is also speaking of the region that they settled in, the region of Idumea, the Greek word for Edom. Edom and Esau are interchangeable in the Bible. You'll also see words interchangeable for Esau and Edom in the scriptures, such as Mount Seir, Bozra, Selah or Petra, and Idumea. These words are another word for the descendants of Esau, which is Edom, that settled in certain places. Throughout the scriptures, these individuals had antagonistic squabbles with the nation of Israel throughout the Old Testament. There were believers from the line of Esau, but as a whole, as a nation, they represented the enemy of God, and they represented spiritually antagonistic with the children of Israel and with the Lord. And throughout the scriptures, there's judgments against Edom, prophecies against Edom, which culminates in a summary package in this book of Obadiah. Verse 1 continues, speaking of this ambassador among the heathen, which is a call to war against Edom. Verses 2 through 9. Behold, I have made thee small against the heathen. Thou art greatly despised. The pride of thine heart has deceived thee. Thou that dwellest in the clefts of the rock, whose habitation is high, that saith in his heart, who shall bring me down to the ground? Though thou exalt thyself as the eagle, and though thou set thy nest among the stars, thence will I bring thee down, saith the Lord. If thieves came to thee, if robbers by night, how art thou cut off? Would they not have stolen till they had enough? If the grape gatherers came to thee, would they not leave some grapes? How are the things of Esau searched out? How are his hidden things sought up? All the men of thy confederacy have brought thee even to the border. The men that were at peace with thee have deceived thee and prevailed against thee. They that eat thy bread have laid a wound under thee. There is none understanding in him. Shall not I in that day, saith the Lord, even destroy the wise men out of Edom and understanding out of the mount of Esau? And thy mighty men, O Teman, shall be dismayed. to the end that everyone of the mount of Esau may be cut off by slaughter. Here in verses 2 through 9, we begin to see the disposition of Esau, the pride of Esau, and the pride of the descendants of Esau, which is Edom. The very character of Esau is passed down to the nation of Edom because these individuals are operating not just physically, they're operating spiritually in their belief system, in whom they trust, in their rejection of the Lord, and in their trafficking with demon spirits through idolatry, the occult, and false religions. As a result, they are antagonistic against the children of Israel and antagonistic against God. Esau, as an unbeliever, fought against Jacob, a believer. As an unbelieving nation, Edom fought against the believing nation in the Lord Israel. This is evident of spiritual warfare, the kingdom of light against the kingdom of darkness. Scriptures teach we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. This antagonism between Jacob and Esau goes further than just physical antagonism. This is spiritual warfare, the enemy using the nation of the Edomites to fight against the believing nation, the children of Israel. Verse 3 speaks of their pride and their exaltation. They feel secure as a fortress. They're dwelling in the clefts of the rock. Part of their habitation was in Selah or Petra, the stone fortress in the southern part of Israel, where during the Great Tribulation, the remnants of the children of Israel will seek refuge in the rocks of Petra. Edom sought security as a fortress, thinking that nothing could destroy them. Their pride continues in verse 4, their exaltation, believing they're secure as a military power, believing they're secure in their wealth and treasure, believing to be dared to be challenged by God by exalting themselves. The children of Edom were filled with pride based on their living situation, feeling secure in their mountain fortress. Filled with pride based on their economic situation and their riches, and filled with pride based on their prejudice toward the children of Israel, believing that the children of Israel were inferior to them because they worshipped the Lord and the children of Edom didn't. Be careful of pride. The Bible says that pride goeth before destruction and a haughty spirit before a fall. Individuals today are trusting in what they have in terms of their materialism, believing that they are secure in their finances, believing that they are secure because of the home that they live in, believing that they are secure because they are better than others. Verse 5 speaks of their utter plunder and utter destruction. Nothing will be left in terms of their judgment. Verse 6 speaks of them being exposed by God and judged by God. Verse 7 speaks of them losing their alliances and all their support, their economic support and their military support from their Confederate alliances. They are turning against them. Part of the judgment against Edom is that they turned against the children of Israel, and thus their own alliances will turn against them. Verse 8 speaks of their leaders, their statesmen, their governors, their military rulers, and all those in power are being judged. Verse 8 speaks of Teman, who is the grandson of Esau and son of Eliphaz. the eldest son of Esau. His descendants shall also be judged. These scriptures are fulfillment of Genesis chapter 12, verse number 3, where the Lord said, I will bless them that bless thee, and I will curse them that curse thee. Those in the scriptures that have fought against the nation of Israel receive the judgment from God. For the Bible says, touch not mine anointed, and do my prophets no harm. When individuals come against the believers of the Lord raises up a standard against them, because individuals are not only persecuting the individual, they're persecuting the Lord in whom they trust. This situation with Edom is more than physical, it is spiritual warfare. The enemy using the nation of Edom to try and destroy the nation of Israel. Verses 10 through 14. For thy violence against thy brother Jacob, shame shall cover thee, and thou shalt be cut off forever. In the day that thou stoodest on the other side, in the day that the strangers carried away captive his forces, and foreigners entered into his gates, and cast lots upon Jerusalem, even thou wast as one of them. But thou shouldst not have looked on the day of thy brother in the day that he became a stranger, neither shouldest thou have rejoiced over the children of Judah in the day of their destruction, neither shouldest thou have spoken proudly in the day of distress. Thou shouldest not have entered into the gate of my people in the day of their calamity. Yea, thou shouldest not have looked on their affliction in the day of their calamity, nor have laid hands on their substance in the day of their calamity. Neither shouldest thou have stood in the crossway to cut off those of his that did escape. Neither shouldest thou have delivered up those of his that did remain in the day of distress. Here in verse 10 through 14, Israel was under great persecution against many heathen nations, against Sennacherib, against Nebuchadnezzar, against Shishak, and others. And throughout the Old Testament, Edom would align themselves with these wicked nations and help plunder the children of Israel. Verse number 10 speaks of a picture of how Esau persecuted Jacob, and once again, Esau's descendants, the Edomites, Edom, did the same thing against the nation of Israel. Esau was violent against his brother Jacob, and Edom, the descendants of Esau, were violent against the children of Israel. An example in the scriptures, when Jerusalem was going through calamity and Edom was sitting watching and cheering for the complete destruction of Jerusalem, is found in Psalm 137, verse number 7. Remember, O Lord, the children of Edom in the day of Jerusalem, who said, raise it, even to the foundation thereof. Verse 7, it's speaking of the children of Edom cheering and hoping that Jerusalem would be laid and destroyed even to its foundation. Verse 11 is speaking of the participation of Edom with other nations that persecuted Israel in taking prisoners of war and captives and selling them off as slaves. Verse 12 speaks of Edom mocking Jerusalem, making folly of their destruction, of their persecution, and celebrating in the defeat of Jerusalem. Scripture warns us of mocking our enemies when their calamity comes. Proverbs chapter 24, verses 17 and 18 says, rejoice not when thy enemy falleth, and let not thine heart be glad when he stumbleth, lest the Lord see it, and it displease him, and he turn away his wrath from him. We ought not to look on the sidelines and look at our enemies fall and mock them or speak ill of them, lest the Lord turn from them and turn to us in chastisement. Jesus Christ gave the proper example we should have towards individuals in calamity in Matthew chapter 5, verses 43 through 45. Ye have heard that it has been said, thou shalt love thy neighbor and hate thine enemy. But I say unto you, love your enemies, bless them that curse you, and do good to them that hate you, and pray for them which despitefully use you and persecute you, that ye may be the children of your Father which is in heaven. For he maketh his sun to rise on the evil and on the good, and sendeth rain on the just and the unjust. Here the children of Esau, the descendants called Edom, mocked and made folly of the children of Israel, and the Lord turned from the children of Israel's chastisement and judged Edom for their folly. And Jesus Christ teaching us not to look upon the calamity of others, but to pray for them and to do good for them, that we may show evidence that we are the children of our Father. Verse 13 speaks of the plunder that Edom had for the children of Israel as they were going through their calamity. They took all the spoil and they robbed them bare. The misery of the carnage and the destruction of the persecuting nations upon the children of Israel was evident, and Edom stood by and did not help, but instead plundered them, took property, took their substance, and all that they had while they were in distress. They were taking advantage of their calamity and their situation. Verse 14 speaks of Edom preventing the escape of those who had possibly get away from the persecution of the invading armies on the children of Israel. They blocked the escape paths and they began to assassinate and kill all those who would escape. The children of Edom aligned themselves with the destructive armies that were persecuting the children of Israel by blocking the way of escape. Instead, they should have had a place of refuge for those that were afflicted and looking for safety. Verses 15 and 16. For the day of the Lord is near upon all the heathen, as thou hast done, it shall be done unto thee. Thy reward shall return upon thine own head. For as ye have drunk upon my holy mountain, so shall all the heathen drink continually. Yea, they shall drink, they shall swallow down, and they shall be as though they had not been. Here speaks of the destruction of Edom in inclusion with the heathen, heathen meaning the unbelievers of the world, the unconverted of the world, in the day of the Lord. This day of the Lord in verse 15 speaks of a season and a time frame where God will judge the world, and he will do that during the great tribulation. It's spoken of as the day of the Lord throughout the Old Testament, where God will have his day of judgment upon the earth. Verse 16 speaks of the sowing and the reaping that individuals will have as a part of judgment. From the time of the Old Testament through to the time of the present, the children of Edom has been scattered to different places, but settled in the southern parts of Israel. In approximately 500 B.C., they were in the regions of Idumea, which is what the Greeks called Edom, with many migrating by 70 A.D., to the area we know now as Bosnia. The inhabitants of Edom were scattered to locations consisting of Bosnia and others, but mostly settling down south in the southern regions of Israel, in the region of Idumea. The region of Idumea, where the Edomites settled, is around the region of Petra, south of Judea. verse 15 and 16 fulfill a multitude of prophecies throughout the scriptures on the judgments against Edom in Isaiah 35 and Isaiah 63, Jeremiah 49, in the book of Amos chapter 1, in the book of Ezekiel chapter 25 and 35, in the book of Joel chapter 3. These prophecies against Edom is not only because of their physical persecution and antagonism against the nation of Israel, but moreover is for their rejection of worshiping the Lord, and as a result, their violence against the Lord's people, the nation of Israel. Verses 17 and 18, but upon Mount Zion shall be deliverance, and there shall be holiness, and the house of Jacob shall possess their possessions, and the house of Jacob shall be a fire, and the house of Joseph a flame, and the house of Esau for stubble, and they shall kindle in them and devour them, and there shall not be any remaining of the house of Esau, for the Lord has spoken it. Verse 17, speaking of Jacob possessing their possessions, is a fulfillment of Joel chapter 3, verse 19, and the book of Amos chapter 9, verses 11 through 12. Verse 18 speaks of the extermination of the nation of Edom by the Lord through the nation of Israel, as Israel will be the fire that extinguishes all of Edom, as a picture of a raging fire that consumes all in its path. Verses 19 through 21, and they of the south shall possess the mount of Esau, and they of the plain the Philistines, and they shall possess the fields of Ephraim, and the fields of Samaria, and Benjamin shall possess Gilead. And the captivity of this host of the children of Israel shall possess that of the Canaanites, even unto Zarephath. And the captivity of Jerusalem, which is in Sephardah, shall possess the cities of the south. And Savior shall come up on Mount Zion to judge the Mount of Esau, and the kingdom shall be the Lord's. Here in verse 19 through 21, we're seeing the restoration of the children of Israel. The promises of the nation of Israel will be fulfilled in spite of any treaty that man may write against the nation of Israel. The land has been promised to the descendants in the nation of Israel as the Lord's people, and it shall be fulfilled. Verse 19 speaks of them possessing the plain of the Philistines. This speaks of Gaza. And they shall possess the fields of Ephraim and the fields of Samaria. This is speaking of the West Bank. And Benjamin shall possess Gilead. This is speaking of the Golden Heights. Verse 20, speaking of the cities of the south, is speaking of Lebanon. We can see that the land shall belong to the nation of Israel. Verse 21 speaks of Saviors coming up to Mount Zion to judge. This is speaking of Christ and his saints, as we shall return with him according to the book of Zechariah chapter 14 and the book of Revelation chapter 19. This speaks of the millennial reign, where after the great tribulation and after Armageddon, the Lord will set up his kingdom of peace for 1,000 years, and we shall reign and rule with the Lord. Paul said in the book of 1 Corinthians, "Know ye not that the saints shall judge the world?" Paul further said, "Know ye not that ye shall judge angels?" Jesus Christ taught us to pray in the book of Matthew, "Thy kingdom come, thy will be done." Jesus Christ shall set up his kingdom for 1,000 years during the millennial reign and rule and reign from Jerusalem, which he called in the book of Matthew, the city of the great king. Here the land shall be returned to the children of Israel despite any man-made treaties, and we shall reign and rule with him for 1,000 years in the millennial reign according to Revelation chapter 20. Here the book of Obadiah teaches us the rise and fall of the nation of Edom, the descendants of Esau, with the very characteristic and disposition of Esau, with Esau's violence against Jacob and Esau's descendants and their violence against the nation of Israel. This is also a picture of how we should not treat our brethren or our sisterin. As Esau gave us a picture of how a brother should not treat his own brother, this is a picture as a warning to us, as some individuals mistreat their own brethren in the home through abuse, through taking advantage of them, through bullying them, through speaking ill against them. Individuals having sibling rivalries. Psalm 50 verse 20 gives us an example which states, "Thou sitteth and speaketh against thy brother, thou slandereth thine own mother's son." So here Esau, a picture of how not to treat your own brother. We should take heed to the same example on how not to treat our own brethren in our own families. The book of Obadiah, beginning with Esau, the descendants, the Edomites, further descendants, King Herod, who persecuted against the Jews and against the Christians of that time. His descendant, Amin al-Husseini, the Grand Mufti of Jerusalem, the Nazi collaborator during World War II. His descendant, Yasser Arafat of the PLO, a persecutor of the nation of Israel. These descendants from Esau down were antagonists against believers of the Lord, as evident that these descendants did not believe in the Lord and were the enemies of the believers of God. The descendants of Esau, called the Edomites, Esau, Herod, Amin al-Husseini, Yasser Arafat. This is the book of Obadiah. And on today, if you do not know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, or if you have strayed away from His loving kindness, I invite you to pray with me this prayer of salvation, this prayer of rededication. Won't you bow your head and close your eyes and pray with me this prayer? Oh God, I am a sinner. I believe that Jesus Christ died for my sins. I believe that God raised Him from the dead. Come into my heart. Come into my life. Save me today. Forgive me, I pray. In Jesus' name, amen and amen.
Thank you for listening to the teaching ministry of Life Changing Ministries International. LCMI is a Christian non-denominational teaching ministry based solely on the Holy Bible, dedicated to pleasing God, glorifying Jesus Christ, and ensuring that the Bible is the foundation in everything this ministry proclaims and endorses. For more information, log on to our website at lifechangingministries.com. Please join us again next time for more Bible teaching. And remember, we have the victory through Jesus Christ.